Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Andy Murray, and you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph from day six of the Fevertree Championships at the Queen's Club. The sun is setting over the Queen's Club. There are merry Queen's Club members everywhere you look, which is why Gigi Salmon and myself, Catherine Ritiko, have ducked for cover, recording inside the photographer's room in the bowels of the Queen's Club after what has been a quite wonderful day. The sun has been shining. We've had two very competitive men's singles semi-finals. Marin Cilic winning through against Nick Kyrgios. Novak Djokovic winning through against Jeremy Shardy. We'll be hearing from both finalists. Gigi's been catching up with both of them. We'll also hear an exclusive interview with Novak Djokovic's coach, Marijan Vida, and we'll be hearing from Gordon Reid and Alfie Hewitt, two of the players who've been taking part this week in the first ever wheelchair tennis event at the Queen's Club. So plenty coming up, but first and foremost, Gigi, we must talk about our men's finalists. Marin Cilic, just too good in pretty much every department, and I include serve in that, for Nick Kyrgios today. 7-6, 7-6. A brilliant match, a thrilling match. Old school grass court tennis. It was wonderful to see, wasn't it?
It really was. And he didn't get the wobbles towards the end, Marin Cilic. That's the one thing about Marin Cilic. When it gets into a tough situation, can he close things out? But it's always been said about him when he's on it, and we always go back to 2014, the run at the US Open, because he was on it. He was unstoppable, he was unbeatable, he became a Grand Slam champion. If he is fully there in every department, that's mental as well as physical, he's got the game, because he's got a huge forehand, a massive serve. He can come forward, he can play at the net, he looks so relaxed, he looks so comfortable. He's a newly married man. It just, all the pieces in the Cilic puzzle seem to fall into place very nicely.
And what bobblometer was low today.
Very low.
Registering on the ball bounceometer and leg wobblometer for Marin Cilic. I mean, still a little bit, because that's part and parcel of Marin Cilic these days, but definitely significantly less than, you know, I think back to the final here against Feliciano Lopez last year. What was it, 8-6 in the third? In those final few games, there was more Marin Cilic leg wobbling and ball bouncing than there was balls being struck.
How,
I mean, it was
such a giveaway
of how nervous he was. So he did an interview with our reporter Anna for Amazon Prime after his win today, and he used the word calm. I counted at least four times, it might have been five times, and I did believe him. He really seems calm, and as I say, the fact that there's less leg wobbling, knee jiggling and ball bouncing, I think is strong evidence of that. And I know we keep saying it always, it's the thing that's always trotted out about Marin Cilic, but he is the loveliest man in tennis.
He's,
and Gigi,
a nice guy.
You've had the pleasure of catching up with the loveliest man in tennis.
Marin, you must be absolutely delighted. It's your fourth final here overall, and it is back-to-back finals at the Queen's Club.
Yeah, definitely delighted. It was a great match again. As expected, very tough against Nick. Not much that made a difference in the end. You know, it was two tie breaks, two close sets, and I had even a couple break points in that second set. Came up with great shots, and it was extremely important to stay focused, stay patient, you know, wait for the opportunities, and luckily I got them and used them well.
What have you been most pleased about with how you're playing this week? A lot of people focus on the serve that's been working well. Is it the serve? Is it another aspect? Is it the mental side of things that's also very important?
You know, it comes all in the package, sort of. You have to, you know, play well, execute well, obviously, on court. I was very pleased with that. I was serving throughout the week, you know, haven't lost too many points in my serve as well, and, you know, that makes mental part of my game very strong. And also, again, today, coming up against Nick, a big server, you are also under pressure if you do something badly on your service games, that it can be proved to be even critical for the match. You can be losing a set very quickly. So I was focused and did all my parts of my game really well.
Looking ahead to who you might face, firstly, the challenges of facing Novak Djokovic. The head-to-head isn't great, but you did win your last meeting in 2016.
Yeah, the challenge to play Novak is obviously a very big one and very motivating. And throughout the career, he was extremely strong, and I always had a difficulty to play him because the way he plays, I think there is not much in the game that you can see that he's got a weakness. So it was tough for me to beat him, but managed to do that after 14 times in a 15th time. I managed to win it, so it was great feeling. And now, if we're gonna play, definitely great to see him back playing so well again. He's been out with an injury, and obviously tennis loves him and the champion that he is, and it's going to be great to share the court with him tomorrow.
And a couple of things I was wondering. On the morning of a final, do you have a pre-final routine? Something maybe you only do on finals days? Is it the same thing you always do, or is it just whatever you feel like doing?
No, it's always the same. Just be easy, get up, wake up early, whatever time in the morning. I have to wake up, get something to eat, warm up for the match, get some lunch, and play tennis.
And we did a little locker room tour. So in football, you've got your separate change. You don't see each other until you go out. But here, we went in on quarterfinal morning. You didn't mind us being there. And you're having a little chat with Sam Querrey, who you're about to face. So on the morning of the final, you're in there with your opponent. Do you have a little chat, or is it just all business for yourself?
Depends, depends on the time. Somebody is more focused, somebody is more relaxed, and just sometimes can be relaxing and just chatting, because we are all good friends, sharing the locker room all the time, even practicing and seeing each other every single day in the players' lounge, restaurant, hotels. So it's we are all good friends outside of the court, and great part of the year with the World Cup, so we can all chat about those things as well.
Football chat. Marin, thank you, and good luck in the final.
Thanks.
So Marin Cilic continuing to be lovely.
Very lovely. I mean, he's just a nice guy. And I do often tell people about this time last year when he had lost, had that championship point against Feliciano Lopez, and you normally put in to speak to the winner. We thought, well, we'll have a go, and we'll put in to speak to Marin Cilic, and he came and sat down with us. And he did a couple of interviews for a lady after the press conference. I remember she was asking him a few sort of this or that questions, or what's your favourite, this, and then sat down with us for sort of 50 minutes.
Yeah, he couldn't get rid of him, could we?
He even admitted.
He was loving it.
He gave his coach at the time, Jonas Bjorkman, a hug when he came off court. And you're like, shouldn't it have been the other way around? But he's just a generally nice guy. And I think the great thing about Marin Cilic is he leaves it on the court. He said in his press conference, because they were like, this is, you're going to turn things around. This is your fourth final in 2012, Nalbandian. You can't have been happy with that, because Nalbandian was defaulted and you've come so close on another couple of occasions. He said, I have no regrets from last year. Feliciano Lopez was better than me on the day. I put it to one side and we start again. And I really like that about him. It's why we're always saying he's such a nice guy.
How do you feel about the mantra that it's possible to be too nice to be a great champion? Oh, that's the announcement.
Oh, last
from,
orders.
From I think that's the voice of Dave Levy, our esteemed colleague, to tell us that
he
that's
wants
last
to be part
orders
of the
in the media bar.
Is that how the only way he could become part of the podcast?
It's like the voice of God.
Well, it is, because it's controlling a bar. So it's very.
If you hear a stampede, that is because last orders have been called
at
the media
bar.
Everyone we
work is heading in the other direction, and if suddenly it goes silent on the podcast, we've joined them. I think there is some truth in. You can be too, not to be a winner, but to be a serial winner. I think in Novak Djokovic, I know he went through everything he's gone through, but Novak Djokovic, Rafa Nadal, Roger Federer, I think there's a ruthless streak. However nice they appear and well they do in the media and the X and Y, I think they have, maybe it's a different gene, maybe it's a different something. I think they have a certain something, which is why they have won multiple titles. And I do. I'm not saying they're not nice guys, but I just think there is a ruthless streak that's just a little bit more ruthless, and it does make a difference.
My theory, or one of them, about Marin Cilic is what happened to him in the Wimbledon final last year. And I don't think he choked or anything. I'm not suggesting that for a moment. He had horrendous blisters. I've heard accounts of people that saw him getting those blisters taped up the day before the final, and it sounds absolutely grim. You don't need to hear details. I wish I had never heard details. But just the experience of sitting on centre court and and crying into a towel, you know, knowing that he had no chance of winning that match, knowing that, you know, the thing he wanted so much just wasn't going to happen for him that day. I think that has changed something in him. I know he's already a Grand Slam champion, but we don't necessarily always talk about him in those terms. I'm not sure he necessarily always thinks of himself in those terms. And I don't know. I just think there's a fire in the belly of Marin Cilic since that Wimbledon final. I know he lost to Federer again in the Australian Open final, but that could very easily have been a straight sets defeat as well, and it wasn't. He made sure that it wasn't. He made sure that he had a say in what happened that day. He made sure that he could feel about that match the same way he feels about the final here last year, which was, I was just beaten by a better player, but I left it all out there. And he's determined to, I think, always feel like that. And I think we'll talk about Djokovic in a minute, but I think he goes into the final tomorrow as the favourite.
I think absolutely. I think on form, I think on ranking, he won their last meeting in 2016 in Bercy. I know you get some strange results come Bercy, because yeah, some players' minds are already on the beach and some have got other things to think about and some X and Y and Z. But It's a very
June, Gigi, and my mind's on the beach.
It's lopsided in favour of Novak Djokovic, but you have to think that Marin Cilic, if he plays like he did today against Nick Kyrgios, he's going to be very difficult, because Novak Djokovic isn't going to get the openings on the Marin Cilic serve because Marin Cilic has looked so strong. But for me, it always comes back to the question about Marin Cilic, and he was able to close out today. Can he close out the match? When it gets really tight, can he cross that line? And it's
how
probably
much
the
knee
question,
wobbling will there be?
Well, it's always the question mark I think I have with Marin Cilic. Just when I think he's playing exceptional tennis, it comes down to the big crunch match. And can he just get himself over the line? And it's going to be fascinating to see. As you say, he goes in as the favourite. He's the top seed here. It's his fourth final at Queen's. Can he win that title for a second time?
Against Novak Djokovic, who won through against Jeremy Shardy today, 7-6, 6-4. A lot more competitive a match, I think, than a lot of people were giving Jeremy Shardy credit for beforehand, despite the fact that he was 12-1 on grass this season, now 12-2. Because of the contrasting statistic of being 24-0 in sets against Novak Djokovic, which, sorry Jeremy, he came so close in that first set, but I'm afraid that stat is now 26-0, and he really gave a good fist of it today. But it has to be said that you know, if he couldn't do it today, I'm not sure Shardy will ever get a set against Novak Djokovic now.
And I'm not sure he probably believes he will ever get a set against Novak Djokovic. This was probably his best chance in terms of how he's playing that Surbiton title and the final at Hogenbosch, just losing to Richard Gasquet, and the way he's been playing, the way he's been serving. He's got the consistency that maybe in past years he's lacked, and he's got himself back into the top 50.
It's because he's moved to London, Gigi.
It's because he's a local, and he said, this is my favourite tournament, and he's got the game for grass, and he enjoys playing on the grass, and he's another one that's got married. Maybe they're all just getting married and becoming all very relaxed about life, but he seems in a very, very good place. He's playing some of the best tennis of his career. I asked him earlier in the week, I said, what's going on with all these over 30s? Do you just relax a little bit? He said, yeah, I think so. I think we realise that life goes on, and if you lose, it's not a massive problem, and you relax a little bit. But look, it was always going to be virtually mission impossible against Novak Djokovic. It was a very, very close first set, and then it went to form in the second. But just positives for me for Jeremy Shardy to take away from the last few weeks, and he should have so much confidence going into the rest of the grass court season.
But his victor, his conqueror today, Novak Djokovic, was very good indeed, wasn't he? He seems like a man on a mission. We both went to his press conference, and it was definitely game face Djokovic, wasn't it? He sat down, he answered all the questions that were asked of him. He gave long enough answers, as he usually does. He's prone to a meandering answer to a question, it's fair to say. But it was definitely business, wasn't it? It was definitely, this is a thing that I'm required to do. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get out of here and get on with my preparations for tomorrow's final. Not before, though, talking to Gigi Salmon.
Congratulations, Novak. You're back here in the final since 2008. You haven't dropped a set all week. How do you look at the week so far?
It's been a terrific week for me. I mean, I've been enjoying the time on the court. It's been a year since I've played finals in any event. So, of course, it's quite refreshing. I'm very pleased for that. Also, the fact that I haven't dropped a set and played some really good tennis. So, you know, it's a great lead-up for tomorrow's probably the biggest challenge of the week.
You talked about it being that first final and the first title since Eastbourne, but from speaking to you at the beginning of the week, I'm also wondering, it must feel almost as good that you're just out here, you're healthy, and you're competing.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you always try to put things in perspective. I'm very grateful that I have an opportunity to play, first of all, pain-free, and then obviously to have a shot at a title. I've had great tournaments in Rome and Roland Garros, and just kind of felt like in the last month or month and a half, my game has I've raised my level of tennis, and game has gotten better. So this was a phenomenal week so far, but obviously I don't want to stop here. Tomorrow is, as I said, big task. Marin Cilic is in great form. He's definitely one of the best players in the world in the surface in general, of course. Gonna have to deal with his big serve, but I've dealt with some big serves also today, and hopefully I can prevail.
Because you did joke after the match, or maybe you were being serious, that you might take two rackets out when you got to deal with a Marin Cilic serve. Because as you said, he's a man who's everyone will say to you, but Novak, you've got the head-to-head and you've beaten this guy so many times. But he's full of confidence and just that little bit more dangerous on this surface.
Yes, absolutely. Because he's played the finals of Wimbledon. He won a title here, played finals several times. I mean, he just loves playing on grass. I mean, it's so hard for him to get broken, and serve, because he's both first and second are very aggressive, and he just puts a lot of pressure on your service games as well. And he's quite aggressive and hits the ball really flat and through the court. So, but we know each other. We practiced actually here before the tournament started. So. No secrets. We're going to come out both wanting to win.
And finally, I'm intrigued today. I think this is going to be your 99th tour-level singles final. Do you have a routine on finals day? Maybe it's something you have to eat, something you have to do. Or what is that routine on the morning of a final?
Well, the 99th finals day routine is going to be definitely special. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be more or less the same, of course, like all the other days, trying to keep that discipline and routine and things that make me feel good and comfortable and well prepared.
Novak, thank you, and best of luck.
Thank you.
So there is Novak Djokovic. You got a smile out of him, Gigi. The assembled press in the press conference might not have been able to, but you did.
A little bit grumpy when he came. But I don't know if I'm just a little bit too cynical. I think in my old age I get worse and worse. But about Novak Djokovic, I never know if it's fully genuine. I like to think that it is, and when you sit down with Marin Cilic, if he's smiling. I spoke to Jeremy Shardy a few times and he was always grinning and he was laughing and he was so happy. With Novak Djokovic, it feels he will smile when he knows he should smile at the right time, and he should be serious when he knows he should be serious, and he always needs to throw something in about love and this and that. And I don't know, I think he's been fairly relaxed this week. I know he a little bit angry out on court and gave short shrift to a couple of the journos in the press conference, but I think in general he's looked quite relaxed.
He was asked about the little outburst he had in his box midway through, I think it was the first set against Shardy today, and he just said, I won't be commenting on that.
Oh no, you wanted to move on from that.
Yeah, we'll move on, please.
Really, really quickly.
Yeah.
But I think in one way he's, having a little chat with him before you start the interview, and I was talking about this weird sort of chocolate style thing he was drinking.
But it wasn't chocolate.
As far from chocolate as you could, vegan-y, healthy, seedy thing.
It was sort of ground chia seeds and children's tears.
It looked
like an unjoyful drink.
It's something that I'm sure is really, really good for you. But just, and I think he's felt, this is probably the most I've spoken to him in this amount of time, because they're playing every day, and you have the media day at the start. Normally the Grand Slam you might get a yes every now and then, but working for the tournament we're quite lucky, we sometimes get more yeses than most. So this is probably the most I've spoken to him in this short space of time. I've enjoyed it. I found him very relaxed, but I think I still leave as I went in not really knowing how genuine or not it was.
You don't really feel like he's letting you in, do you? He's being perfectly pleasant. He's doing everything that's required of him. He's giving you good answers, but you somehow don't feel like you're getting to know him.
I don't feel I've broken down a wall. I don't feel I've broken down any barriers. He laughed and he smiled, which is always nice when you're interviewing someone, because you hope it means they're a little bit relaxed. But have I sort of changed opinion thoughts about him not really. I think the fire is back in terms of the tennis. I think his best performance so far has been against Grigor Dimitrov. I think that was a stunning...
And he said the same in his press conference.
Stunning show from him there. And I think he is back. And I'm happy because, as we talked about in a previous podcast, I'm not sure if it's one of the ones that worked or didn't, at the start of the year, I did tip him to win Wimbledon. We did predictions for ATP Tennis Radio in January, and a few months in I was like, oh wow, that was a horrific choice, but now I think he's up there. I think he's got a chance of winning Wimbledon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like there are loads of other names that you'd put in the mix to challenge Federer at Wimbledon, far from it. So yeah, I don't think that sounds silly at all. I'll tell you what, Gigi, we're going to hear from Marion Vida now. I had the chance to talk to him on the Amazon Prime highlight show, and we also did a little preview piece to use ahead of the final tomorrow. I know we just waxed lyrical about Marin Cilic being the nicest man in tennis, but it might have to be a shared title, because Marin Vida, I know you have, but I've never interviewed him before. I was bowled over by what a lovely man he was. And yeah, we'll talk about it afterwards, but here he is talking about Novak Djokovic. Yes, I'm joined by a very special guest indeed, coach of Novak Djokovic, a finalist here at the Fevertree Championships, Marion Vida. Marion, we've been talking about you all week in the studio this week. Daniela in particular, of course, I know you know her well. She speaks so highly of the influence you've had on Novak, obviously throughout his career, but in particular since you've come back onto the team.
Yeah, obviously I had great time with him past almost 11 years, and we had a great time together, and I take him when he was really, really young, when he was 18, 19, and you know, that was the one of the best times, because he was on the age, he was in that young age, and he was on the way and raising his tennis level, so it was very enjoyable. Now it's a bit different, but it's not the same, because I joined the team. It caught me on surprise, basically, because he had his team before, and he called me up and asked me if I can join the team, and obviously I was very pleased to do it, but obviously it was a little bit different, because his tennis was not at the best level, and then you know, you have to start all over again. But I am pleased, very pleased, of his today performance.
How surprised were you to receive that phone call, and how quickly did you say yes?
Yeah, I was really in emotions, because I didn't really follow tennis for almost a year, or his tennis or his results, and I really want to be home and spend that time with my family. But you know, obviously it took me 3 years, 3 days of confirmation of my family, because it has to go. Obviously, my family has to make decision on this, and then obviously after 3 days, I figured out this is it's important for me to go back again.
Is Novak different now to when you worked with him before?
Well, I mean, personality is the same. He's very enjoyable, nice guy, pleasant guy, and he loves the crowd. He loves to compete, and it stays in him. Always, he was a big fighter, and he was a great champion. And obviously, it was not that hard for me to come back and to start him up again.
And he's into the final here. Has that surprised you? Has he surprised himself, or were you expecting him to have a fantastic run here this week?
No, it's really surprising. I mean, as he improving by day and tournament after tournament, I had a feeling that he can play good, but really, I mean, I didn't expect that much going to the final and play final tomorrow against Marin Cilic.
And we wish you both the very best of luck. Thank you so much for speaking to us. Real treat. I know Daniela will be particularly chuffed.
Thank you, Daniela, speaking nicely about me. Everybody in Slovakia loves you for that. Bye-bye.
So that was Marion Vida. Truly, truly an absolute delight. And he doesn't do that many interviews, and I thought he'd be shy or not particularly forthcoming, but he really was forthcoming. Very, very honest. About their relationship and about what they've gone through, about what Novak in particular has gone through. And again, it's a term that's trotted out so much, father figure. He's a father figure to Novak Djokovic as much as anything. But the look in his eye when he was talking about Novak was a look that you only really see from parents about their children, or, you know, similar type relationships. It was this sort of glorious warmth and pride. I really did get the feeling that he would, you know, lay his life on the line for this guy. And that's, yeah, and would it, I mean, I took many things from the interview, but one of the things that I reflected on about it afterwards was just, it made me realise just what Djokovic, the extremity of what he must have been going through to ditch that team, to ditch Marin Vida, and the despair he must have been feeling at that moment to jettison this guy who would probably lay down on train tracks for him. That is the extent to which he wants the best for Novak Djokovic. He must have been just in a position where he was willing to try anything to get the feelings back that he had been having pre-French Open 2016.
And I think sometimes when you're in a hole, Borna Coric was talking about this because he changed his team at the back end of last year. People asking him, why do you suddenly get rid of everyone? And he said, well, I got to a stage, things weren't working. And he said, I can't fire myself. I can't sack myself. And therefore, who do you sack? It's the team around you. And it's not always a bad thing to have a break in any form and in life. And sometimes you get back together, as is the case in this instance. For Marin Vida, it was probably not a bad thing because he got to spend some time at home. It is brutal, the tennis tour, when you're travelling. So he got a little bit of time. Novak Djokovic got a little bit of time to think, and maybe change would have been a good thing, but in this case, it wasn't. And it's so nice to see them back together. And it seems as though they're contrasting styles, because Marin Vida, he's very approachable. He smiles, he chats to anyone. He was talking to... He was in a restaurant in Roland Garros after Novak Djokovic had exited to Marco Cecchinato, and it didn't go down well in the press conference room too, and everyone knows about that. And he said, well, maybe you'll see me on grass, maybe not. And the Djokovic team, minus Djokovic, were in a pizza restaurant in the centre of Paris, and one of the colleagues, friends who I was with, just said to Marion, oh, are you not going to be on grass? What's going to happen? He said, don't be silly. Of course we'll see you on grass. In that very relaxed, nice, fatherly manner. He's a very approachable, nice guy, and it's probably a good fit with Novak Djokovic and trying to take away some of those stresses and strains.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, it just seems so right that the band is back together for Novak Djokovic, and he has Marianne Vida by his side. I still see him as the underdog in the final tomorrow, a very, very good underdog who could absolutely definitely cause the upset, probably 45-55, but the underdog nonetheless.
Yeah, Marin Cilic has to have the confidence. He's the top seed. It's his fourth final. He's been in fantastic form at the moment. He's played a lot of tennis. We've got to remember, he's played a lot more tennis than Novak Djokovic has this year. Djokovic still working his way back, still setting his goals for the year, and Novak Djokovic knows it's going to be very tough because he's not going to get a lot of openings on the Cilic serve, especially the way Marin Cilic has been going about things. It's weird, isn't it, that we go into Novak Djokovic has got wild card next to his name, Marin Cilic has got number one next to his name. And if you asked a poll of general tennis fans, or maybe not even tennis fans, where would you put the WC and where would you put the one, it would probably be the other way around just because of who it is. But, well, definitely Cilic your favourite.
Three of our four semi-finalists today were unseeded. Only Cilic, the top seed, was a seeded player today, which feels a bit bizarre. So yeah, that's what you have tomorrow from 2:30 on the centre court. Marin Cilic against Novak Djokovic, the men's singles final. They will be followed by Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez, who are into the final again, the defending champions. They will take on Henry Kontinen and John Peers, of course. Jamie Murray, John Peers used to be a partnership, so I mean, it's all completely amicable, but for the sake of, you know, journalism and hyping things up, we'll call it a grudge match.
Are you
match.
Doing an England team sheet thing?
Yes.
Trying to start something?
Absolutely doing an England team sheet thing. It's outrageous. Over on court one, we must mention from 11 a.m, so you'll be able to see this if you come in with a grounds pass. You'll also be able to see it live streamed on our Fevertree Championships Facebook page. So do check it out if you can, because it's the first time wheelchair tennis has been featured at the Queen's Club. It's the final of the men's singles event. That features Stefan Olsen and Stefan Hudé. Stefan spelt differently for the two men. F for Olsen, PH for Hudé. Incidentally, my favourite fact about Stefan Hudé is he has two sets of twins, just like Roger Federer.
That's amazing. I
one more
that.
Than you, Gigi. It's something to work on.
One more set, yes. I think it will stay as one more set for me.
And then we have the final men's doubles wheelchair tennis exhibition event. It features, now bear with me here, Daniel Cavazzacci from Spain, and Stefan Olsen, who's also in the singles final, and Stefan Houdet and Nicholas Pfeiffer. But we've also had the quite well-known British pairing of Alfie Hewitt and Gordon Reid. They've had plenty of success at Wimbledon, at the Olympics, both as a pair and individually. So they've been participating in the singles and the doubles event here at Queen's. And Gigi, you had a chat with them about the significance of that and how great it is, not just for them, but for us, to have wheelchair tennis at the Fevertree Championships.
Alfie, it's the first time the exhibition tournament has been staged here at Queen's, the wheelchairs. How good is it that this tournament is here, and how enjoyable has it been?
Yeah, I've had a great time. Can't thank Queen's enough for having us here. We're really pushing for that professional grass court season leading up to Wimbledon, and to have the opportunity to get on the grass and play an exhibition. And it's something that I've thoroughly enjoyed, and hope the future years that we can be back and be playing ranking tournaments.
Gordon, how tough is the transition onto the grass?
It's very tough. The grass is a lot more difficult for us as wheelchair players to move on, because it's basically like pushing against resistance, because you push the chair and you stop dead a metre in front of you, whereas on a hard court you'd roll for ages. So it's a lot tougher in the upper body, and it takes a bit of time to get used to it.
But nice to have this week, because if you can start building up these tournaments, make that... The grass court season is so small anyway, but if you can make it a little bit bigger and then have a nice build-up into Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's really important. You know, this has been, you know, invaluable for us to get matches on the grass. We haven't had that the last couple of years before Wimbledon, so... I think hopefully it's the start of something exciting to come in the future.
And it was nice to hear Novak Djokovic speaking after his winter. He was asked the question, he said it's so great that this tournament is now taking place here. He's tried it in the past and would love to give it a go in the future.
And I'll challenge him.
We will be there filming that one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right.
So the lovely, I know we're describing everyone as lovely, but Gordon Reid and Alfie Hewitt, also lovely, Gigi.
And it was nice having a chat with Alfie while we were waiting for Gordon, who was actually doing some filming with Amazon and just talking about being here. And he said, it's so great that we're here. It's so great we're getting the coverage for wheelchair tennis. We want to grow it. And he said, because the frustrating thing at the moment is this country hits tennis fever pitch on the grass court season. It's such a small part of the year. And for wheelchair tennis, they haven't had a lot of tournaments, and it's so tough. Gordon Reid was talking later, it's so tough to adapt going from the clay to the grass because you don't get the traction on grass. It's like wheeling the wheelchairs against resistant bands. You don't roll in it. It's very, very difficult. And it's such a short season. So Alfie's worried that it's not showcased to the high standards that they normally set on the grass. He said it's frustrating because this is our biggest crowd. It's our biggest window in a way because everyone's talking about tennis, yet they have such a short season. So he's so happy it's here at the Fevertree Championships, and they would just like to get more and more grass court tournaments just to grow the season a little bit more.
Yeah, well, hopefully this is the start of that. It's been a wonderfully welcome addition to the Fevertree Championships this year. And as I said, a live coverage of both those wheelchair tennis matches streamed live on our Fevertree Championships Facebook page, which, Gigi, you have been working like a Trojan for all week, all of the tournament channels. We've used so many of the interviews here on the podcast. This is your last day for the podcast.
Yes,
it is. You're abandoning us for Diggerland.
I am tomorrow, or today, whenever you're listening to this, or yesterday if you're listening to it on Monday. The twins turn 3. They are boys and they love tractors, trucks, etc. So we are going on a family trip to Diggerland. Before I head to Eastbourne, I'll be at Diggerland. It's going to be interesting. I'm sure they're going to love it. So while everyone is enjoying the final here, I will be scaling life-size diggers.
Well, we will miss you, Gigi, but I'm comfortable with being abandoned for Diggerland because it sounds blooming awesome.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Gigi, for everything. We have been the Tennis Podcast, our second to last podcast of the week. 6 of them so far, 7 if you include the preview show, just one more to go. We're brought to you in association with The Telegraph, with our executive producers Triple S, Melanie Bowes, tennisballs.com, with La Manga Club, Charlie the Ferret, and we'll be back for one last Fevertree Championships tennis podcast tomorrow.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.